The first, the whole morning session, the 8:15 to 9 o'clock. It's on the mid-month schedule for the planning commission. That's gonna be, what does it mean to do health and wellness? You can stay with the rest of your office. First session is probably this. This one's just a bit.
And that's down here?
Yeah, we reckon. Society, I don't know where.
How are you?
How are you? Only what I heard. Well, without having a majority here, people could say. I mean, I think it probably did go well. I heard everything. Yeah, that's, there wasn't anything to hide about.
It might be first, it might be.
Preserves, talking velocity church. Basically, everybody, everyone's nice, they're actually nice, so they're gently, so they're not here to be anything. Or to say anything, to do that, or disrespect. I was thinking that, like, maybe take that.
That was keeping it.
Is that to the past, to the essence of? Did I say?
Mostly.
Oh, good.
Which was a car.
Bush.
Yeah, the paper made it.
Well, typically they are, that is the model. Well, remember that solutions, that was pre lots of work behind the scenes, saying, we can't make this a.
I thought it was a strange approach.
Then when lawyers kind of cleared that only a few people.
It's been a long time.
I think everyone is kind of, but that's good. I know, I can, I understand why.
Yeah. He said, believe, he said.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's a whole interesting part.
Yeah.
He loves people. And I'm fine with it, I just, you know. One group can't do it. But I'm glad they went. And I'm glad there was a lawyer to moderate the language.
Well, we need to get going. Good afternoon, guys. We're going to go ahead and begin. We do have a reception at 5:30 today, so we're gonna get a lot of work done between now and about 5:28 and a half, so I can't leave my wife standing. Leave her on the corner, could be mad. Wanna welcome everybody today. We do have a quorum, so we'll go ahead and begin. I do wanna have us go ahead and approve the minutes of April 20th, 2015. We do have a copy of those attached to the agenda that we have, as they've been out to all week. Any changes, corrections, additions, deletions to the minutes? If not, I would entertain a motion to adopt those as written.
So moved.
Here, a second?
Second.
Have a motion made in second, Nancy moves up. All in favor of that motion, aye?
Aye.
Aye, opposed.
Abstained, because it's not there.
You didn't see the part where we talked about you? Got it. So with that, since you weren't here, we're going to go ahead and receive an update from you on the hard work that you've done on the mission and vision subcommittee work.
It'll be a short report.
Oh, by yourself?
begin.
Or just say the professor was there as well, there, I forgot her name, the students had their prof at the table.
And when again, and when is the next meeting?
We have not said it yet, but it will be in the next week or two, probably.
Okay. Sounds good, other questions, Elisa? So we're heading right on time to get that discussion as part of the action report.
Action plan.
Okay, that's fine. Again, if everybody would kind of speak up, because we are taping these and wanna make sure everybody can hear, so. Okay, if there are no other questions, Elisa, thank you to you and everybody involved in the committee. Next item then is to receive and discuss and progress the draft of the issue action report.
And co-chairs, if you want, I can walk us through this, and we've been putting a lot of thought into this. This is the time, I think, for this committee to put everything together and really start getting into the issue action report, which is your first phase product to the Planning Commission, City Commission, and County Commission. It is the culmination of identifying the issues of the comprehensive plan that essentially need addressing for the revised plan, for the new, what we're calling the new plan. It's been a long time in the making, but what we've done, we think, is gone through the existing comp plan, through this public process, determined which issues are well addressed in the plan, and which issues we need to either begin almost from scratch with, or bolster, or revisit. And so as we go through this, we can talk about those different, that range of kind of focus that we put on the issues. Because some of them, like environment chapter, are going to be pretty well established, and we just need to implement the plan we have. Others, like employment opportunities, we have a lot of strength in the plan, but we need to do even more in that category. We need to chart a course for that. And then there are issues like affordable housing and food system development that are also important, and that, frankly, in my opinion, we're behind the curve on. Coming back from Seattle a few weeks ago at the National Conference, spent a lot of time in sessions devoted to the items that we're looking at in our plan, and if we believe that those things are important to the community, which we think they are, and we need to up our game a little bit in some of those planning items, the affordable housing, arts and culture, and local food systems, because those are the latest national trends, and those are the things that one could argue, are they part of a land use document that's going to guide the Planning Commission? I would argue yes, for the most part, there are threads of those items that permeate through our codes and our policies, and so I think that where this committee is ending up on a lot of these items is kind of mirroring what I'm seeing at the national level as things that we need to be working on. And so to process the rest of this through, I think what I would propose is that we don't necessarily look at the summary table just yet and the priority list, but I would propose starting on page 7 and going through each issue specifically. And then when we get through the list of issues, you know, make changes back to the summary table. And then, of course, we have the mission vision as a stakeholder to plug in when we get that done as well. This really begins the process of revising the comp plan, doesn't end it. So what this committee was tasked with is identifying the issues to work on as we build the new plan. So try to keep that in mind. Also keep in mind that it is a vision for the future. Talk a lot about where we're at today, but it's really to accommodate a growing population and a growing land area into the future. So if that sounds like a good process, we can take off. And if everyone's on page 7, issue 1, my questions on each one of these issues is just, did we capture, well, this walkthrough in the template just very quickly again, analysis and discussion is just a summary of the issue. Of course, titled the issue. A little bit of discussion on the titles of the issue themselves, maybe And then we've put almost verbatim the steering committee comments. Then we've tried to capture the steering committee's summary position on the issue. So I'm going to be asking for each issue if there's agreement in that summary position. Is this the message you want to convey to the city, county, and planning commissions about this issue? And then we give you the policy strength, again, our proposed opinion of where that lies, and then action steps ends each one of the issues about where to go from this point forward. So general readability is probably one of the easier ones, some of the low-hanging fruit, because we all agree that the current plan isn't very readable and needs a lot of work in that category. But I would open it up to make sure that we've captured your summary position on this.
John, I believe you were one of the first ones that talked about the readability and especially executive summary because of the document is hard.
Yeah.
Just capture it.
I think it does, and I think part of the work we're doing in the subcommittee is going to help with that. The one thing that I would say might be missing or is, you know, looking at all of these things here, might not be addressed. I can't remember where we left it. Before we even got to the executive summary comment, was that Chapter 2 is almost entirely about current data, which is used to back up why we have the plan in the first place. And that data is now stale and proved to be fairly inaccurate on our projections. Do you anticipate that we're going to update Chapter 2 along with this?
Oh, yeah.
And along with that, what occurs to me is that data analysis has gotten a lot easier. Is there a possibility or element when we were talking about layer maps, searchable digital format, have more regularly updated data available online? Is that part of this, or is that in your vision?
We could certainly strive to make that easily updatable so that as we get the data, it can plug right in. Maybe an appendix of the demographics that help capture some of that.
Or possibly include in that, I think, item 12 on the annual meeting review.
I understand some of our data is tied to census data, which is
right.
Data only 10 years.
Right.
But going back to that readability, I think what that would do is it would also help project that this plan is dynamic. When you read the plan as it currently stands, and you see a chart that says residential units in Lawrence that go from 55 to 2,000, 15 years later, it seems kind of moot. It's no longer applicable or part of the plan. So that's where having a system for Chapter 2 to be integrated in a dynamic way, I think, is important.
I also think in terms of readability, I mean, certainly the getting the text kind of written in a clear and concise way for the general public, but I think visually we need to pay attention to, so pictures and changed format, but you know, some color and some interesting, not just graphics, but illustrative pictures or whatever, so it's not all text.
Good comments?
There was some discussion way back about implementation matrices or something like that. I think, Jeff, you had mentioned that some states require that and some communities have that. And I'm not sure where that belongs or if we made a decision about that, but it seemed like part of the challenge of the comprehensive plan is how to communicated in a way that's simpler and to talk about how it's relevant to people. And I don't know if that implementation piece even gets to that, but it just seemed like it was more about how is this plan being put to use? And I'm not sure if that's about readability or just people's perception that it's even applicable to their lives. And I don't know where else it would go. But I guess when I remember this all began, you go tell someone you're on this committee to look at the comprehensive plan, and they're just eyes glaze over. And I don't know what that, maybe even looking at making it look pretty doesn't really resolve that. It's still hard for people to understand what is this plan, how does it matter?
Maybe that's where you just have a really compelling executive summary, you know.
You can make an argument. I mean, a lot of what we do is matters when it pops up adjacent to you as a new development project, right? So
sure.
It matters a lot then. That's what we spend a lot of time on in different commissions, but.
I don't recall what those implementation matrices look like. In my mind, I keep thinking, it's like, what is the dashboard for this thing? Like, how do you look on a single web page and click on economic development? Boom, it's going to open up something and start to show you the numbers that matter. And I don't know if that's the implementation. I just think visually, what I would think would make sense is I click on something topically, and it tells me the latest and greatest data about that issue. And then it tells me, oh, this must address economic development. Or, oh, it must address parks and rec opportunities because that data is here. So it's more about, I click on a topic because it interests me, and suddenly there's data. So this plan must have something to do with that.
That's a complexity of a comprehensive plan in terms of linking all these things together. I mean, to be digitally enabled for us means to, yeah, I mean, it's going to still be a document that needs to be printable at some level, but also easily navigate in an online world too, so that, I don't know if that's through bookmarks or different programs to give you the dashboards and those kind of things, but we don't know the answers to all those yet. That's what we're saying. It's an issue. We don't have it in our current plan. It needs to happen with the new plan, but we need to build that plan first and then figure out how to put together tech, I think, to make sure that we're
going to
end up with that product.
Do we ever resolve whether this is a guide or is that?
We
never will. Our local code.
To be that clear,
Charlie,
our
local code requires compliance with the plan. One of the things we talk a little bit in the mission statement is, you know, saying that the mission of the plan might have an element in it that says it needs to be flexible to take on other challengers. And so it can be both. It can both be local code and flexible enough to have a process that you can, you know, at least propose amending it to comply with something. So that's the current status of the local code.
What this is, though, that we're doing is just a suggestion that has to go through both the city and the county, and they can edit, change, and do whatever they want to it, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, this is just a draft. And they can modify anything they want to it before they put it in play. So what you're doing isn't in stone by any stretch.
Well, I mean, it is in stone that people can still ask to amend it.
Sure.
And so I think that's more the goal of saying that this is what we want it to be, this is the idea. You know, but that knowing that if we have another downturn in the economy, if something happens and there's a need to make changes, to allow for that.
I guess I'm thinking, if you go to this topic, issue number one, general readability, I hear readability, it sounds pretty narrow, and I think this is probably more about people even mentally being able to grasp what this plan is. And if they just get bombarded by 500 pages, close the book. Maybe the summary of the mission and vision helps them. But how do they access their understanding of the plan?
Well, usually we'll have a section in there about how to read the plan and how it applies. And so that you can go to that section and read that and understand how it gets used.
Well, I wonder too,
if
in the formatting, if there can somehow be a way of, yes, you have your table of contents where you know what category to go to, but then when you go to that
this isn't a document that you pass out of school and have tested on, this is about the development community. I mean, and that, those are the ones that are gonna use the document, that have to adhere to the document. And so, I mean, don't get all caught up in being bullet pointing and doing all the things in the world to it. Because it's not something that, you know, somebody's just not gonna walk up and go, man, I wanna see what our comprehensive plan is. You're gonna be actively doing something in the community, and that's what you're gonna look at. I mean, that's the gist of what this is.
I agree.
It's not a global, you know, everybody can look and read it, but you're just, that's not something that's really gonna occur.
But from personal experience, having had to read these documents, I think it would be, I don't wanna read all the recommendations. I mean, it's where, knowing, like, from a developer, let's say coming from another community, having to read this, or their lawyer, or a fan, or somebody, I do think it would still be helpful to kind of have it more condensed. I think it would be good to give options of, if you wanna read just the highlights and the bullet points, but if you want every single little detail, there's that option.
Sure.
So, I'd like to take issue with what you said, Scott. I think that the plan is the community's plan. And if it's only for developers.
It's a land use document.
Sure, but it's the way the community is trying to manage land use. So it really, like, for who should it be most readable? The community that lives here. And to say it's just an administrative document, I think is missing the larger intent of planning. So, I mean, I think it needs to be readable. The people that live in this community, they need to understand how it's appropriate for them to engage in that process and whether they even should be there. It's real easy to have someone feel disconnected when you throw things at them, like in public works, they often talk about the manual uniform traffic control devices. That just shuts conversation down real quickly. And you could say, well, it's an engineering tool to create standards. And it really, as people receive that kind of comment, they just hear it as, obviously they're not in school to become engineers, and it's not relevant to them.
You can talk about all you want, but look.
Well, I'm just asking.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, reality is.
What's the intent of planning?
It's a document that we use in planning. If we want something that needs to be readable in the community, it's gotta be something different. Because you can't do this.
Exactly.
I mean, it can't be this. This will not, nobody can comprehend this. You have to be doing it, being paid.
Well, I think, is there still discussion of whether we're just kind of making notes or totally scrapping it and starting over?
We will have a new format to the plan. We will borrow many of the policies already there. We will revise and build new ones. But the exercise before us is to identify that it's an issue, not to solve an issue. Because the issue itself needs a lot more work. We agree, we understand, we recognize that. It's not to solve it, it's to put forth this idea that, yeah, our plan lacks in that ability to be readable and usable. And there's a lot of different things you can do in the planning world to help convey messages. You can do breakouts of a plan and say, what does it mean, what are our neighborhood goals? What are our employment goals? What are our different issues? To kind of get them down into chewable parts, you know, something that you can actually digest versus an inch and a half thick book.
But isn't it
that's
true?
All later.
But isn't it true, as Charlie just said, it's a document that a resident of Douglas County, the city of Lawrence, needs to be able to pick up and say that this is our comprehensive plan, and that, as Scott says, somebody from the development world realizes that he or she's got to work within the confines of that document, correct?
Correct, yeah. Sure.
So that's the goal of this whole thing.
Yeah. But it's like any one of our plans, it's like the health department plan, it's like transportation plan, I mean, these things get pretty big pretty quick. And sometimes it helps to consult with the staff that, you know, manages the plan to have that discussion going on. It would be near impossible for anybody to come in and start reading the plan and come up with the answers they think they're getting with it.
That's problem one.
And I think it's important to
know.
I think it's important to know that it's actually, even though some of the policies don't need to be changed, or some of the chapters are pretty close to right or current that, at least my understanding is, there's not going to be just complete cut and pasting of old
right.
stuff into the new. The whole thing will be written in one voice,
absolutely.
In new language, accessible to the public, and hopefully simplified in format and more visually appealing. So that took me a while to feel it was the case, but I think that's what I understand, at least, that even if we're using old information, it will be written in a new way. Right.
And if
yep.
if we're doing this, if you know, in section 12, as we, again, we talk about either a 3 to 5 year review or the annual mini reviews, and then talking about a 10 year major review. As long as we're updating these on an annual basis, is there really that need for a 10 year major review? As long as you're keeping things up to date.
These were just reiterating your comments from the board we
right.
had. So that.
But as I see it, you know, if you're really, if you're keeping it up to date, would there be that need for a major review?
When we talk about major reviews, it's going through some sort of public process to give people the opportunity to weigh in on the issues, like we're doing right here now. I mean, so it's a nice goal to strive for. A lot of it has to do with where we're at 10 years on issues and how well it's serving us, and what resources we have to do that kind of update. But I think that's kind of the standard 10-year cycle.
So the information that you've received, are you happy with what you've received in this discussion?
I understand there's a lot of desire to change where we're at today, and we've got to build a plan for that. And we've got to bring a lot of people in to our under the tent on this thing, you know, get some help from some of our resources with the communication manager, probably consult with our IT department in a great number of ways, and all kinds of different things. It's not going to be just planning staff doing this. It's going to be a lot of help with this.
Well, this mission statement, I think, is extremely important. I mean, I really do. If you're wanting to make a statement about anything, I mean, you know, and especially a comprehensive plan, which is, you know, I think it's absolute. The executive summary, as was brought up by John, and I think you actually referenced, what was it, the city of Topeka's executive summary, and how, you know, the thing, they did a great job, you know, and makes you want to, challenges you a little bit, I guess, even. So I think those two are important to this process. I mean, I really do.
I didn't have the mission vision statement locked in and proposed to those commissions before it leaves your hands.
Okay.
The only, you didn't ask us to look at this just yet, but the action steps. It says prioritize readability for all users. That seems like a very short action step to me. Yeah. Can you explain that a little more? What I think what Nancy was saying, where it was written in the same voice, I like that a lot, and I didn't see this in the action steps here, is that the actual tone of the piece, you know, I didn't see that there. Maybe it's there, but I just don't.
And I think from our perspective, it went without saying, but we can certainly get that on paper for you.
Yeah, I would reiterate that under 1.3, easy to understand. Define what that is. Basically, with exactly what Nancy said, consistent language and voice without developer speak or coding. Is how I would phrase that, however you want to phrase that. That's what easy to understand means to me. I think that's Nancy, what we were thinking as well.
Metrics.
Yeah.
That's what I was
referring
about.
What you were
plan. There was something we talked about that was like you wouldn't have to go through 500 pages to figure
right.
out what was done the last year. That
mm-hmm.
you know. ways of making it seem more relevant to people.
You know, that goes back to that, I was planning on having out today, but then having some type of analysis of that data. I think what I've run into in different forums and speaking to different people is there's a lot of folks that have a black and white mentality about this kind of thing and about the data. It's either this way or it's not. And in reality, there's a lot of gray. And a lot of the data is difficult to measure. And it's that's okay. If we can communicate that, then that makes this plan, I think, more approachable.
Okay.
And that might be a tall order visually, but.
I think it's a great improvement to the plan to report back on its progress. And some of it's not going to be reportable, you know, how many zonings match the plan, that kind of stuff. I mean, still, you can report on
the plan.
No, but
I mean,
what I'm saying,
the stuff we're talking about is results from the plan.
Right.
And they're talking about putting them in the plan, and I've kind of lost it. But, I mean, doesn't there need to be that portal that's easy to read that says, here's the things that happened in the plan. It's not part of the plan.
Their outcomes from the plan.
Yeah,
if we have a general
reporting version of what we're doing, it's not part of the plan.
Right, that's what they're asking for.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the plan. That's just how you're going to report on what's occurred.
Are we putting that
in this document?
But you set up the metrics in the plan, and then you report on those metrics through the years.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah,
it helps communicate why the plan is relevant.
Well, that's what I said. We need a separate deal that says, here's what occurred and this is what happened. I'm muddied a little bit about saying, put it all in the plan. I didn't understand what you were doing.
We're talking about chapter two. A lot of this is already in chapter two. There's already a format for it. That is part of it.
Well, so they flip through the plan and go to chapter two to find it. Is that what you want?
Not necessarily.
I thought Charlie wants a separate deal so you can go to it, recently see it, and pull it out. I mean, I think that's what everybody's looking for, isn't it?
Sure.
Something simple to look at the front of what we're doing. And not buried in your plan.
Sure.
So is that part of the plan, or is that? Well, I mean, it's two different things. It's reporting on the plan, and it's the plan.
Sure.
Are you seeing a section or a part of each section of having the measure or the
measurement?
I guess what I envision is some kind of metrics for the whole plan. And so once a year, when the plan staff reports to the plan commission on how we're doing, that would be part of the report, or every other year, some reasonable amount of time that would let the community know, we have done this plan in this year, and 2 years from now, we're moving in a direction, or not, and here's why.
And there's a ton of data. For example, you could use level of service on roadways, and say our goal is to get level of service of B instead of D. Well, are we there? Will we get there? How are we not getting there? How are we getting there? And those kinds of things. Taking the policy, create a metric for it, and then reporting on its success or not.
So then at the time of the mini reviews, then we will establish this report card as the requirement. It's part of the plan, Scott, but it's part of the action steps that is going to be one of the requirements of the Planning Commission or whoever it's going to ultimately hear it, or governing bodies.
I would just caution us to be very careful with the measurement tool that we create, because I think that's what you're saying, is sort of this is the measurement tool, it's not the actual measurement. Because I remember sitting here for half of it and listening to a retail study and hearing one thing, and then hearing another retail study and seeing a completely different side of the data. So I don't want to just confuse the public more. At some point, we can't. I'll just stop there. I just don't want to confuse the public anymore.
Issue two?
But I do have a question. With your background, having read these, I totally agree that the mission statement and the executive summary and all that is very important and needs to be something that we all look at. But I guess just from my background, I could care less about that. Like someone who is going to sit there and go to a community and need to read and need to look at the stuff, I don't even need that. Like I'm going to the actual chapter. perspectives of what's relevant to me and how I need to accomplish whatever it is my goal is. I just was curious of your thoughts and of having done that yourself too, of what you think.
Yeah, I would agree from a professional standpoint, absolutely. But what we're talking about here is what Charlie brought up, the feedback that I've got is this is a community document. People, I think it really bridges the gap between the development community and people that are in the neighborhoods to have this kind of executive summary so that they can really understand what this thing is about. Because a typical neighborhood resident without any professional experience looks at that and is totally intimidated and they're unclear what to pull out of it that is going to support their cause or perhaps make the bridge between where they stand and the developer might stand. In a lot of ways, it would tremendously help the developer have a document that has transparency and clarity because they can point to it in clear terms that actually would help the development of the neighborhood say when there's a plan development. I'm sure there's going to be contention, but at least it levels the playing field so the average citizen can see the same document and kind of understand what the gist of it is without getting to the meat of the code. That's kind of how I approach it. And that's kind of the feedback that I've got.
Right.
People talk about it, but they don't really know what it says.
Issue two is creating employment opportunities. This one, in our opinion, has high policy strength, but is evolving locally through the efforts of the Chamber and Economic Development Corporation, the city, the county. We're all doing a lot of good things, I think, with this issue in terms of turning a little bit more toward growing local businesses, creating programs like BizFuel, which is a program of partners that help bolster and support local businesses, but not losing hold of the desire to attract outside employers. So as you read through issue number two, you'll see those threads through here. We've created a summary position where creating a diverse range of employment opportunities is important. And you can see then when you get through the action steps that we are proposing to do quite a bit of work in this arena. Working with the city and county commissions and the EDC and the chamber to identify strategies such as dedicated funding to help attract, develop, and retain employers. That would be completely new, and you could argue, well, that's not really a land use item, but it is an item when we look around regionally that we may be behind on. We don't have that tool in our kit. We think it would be helpful to study the various potential incentives to promote downtown Lawrence as a place of employment, create policies that support and grow local small to medium-sized businesses, and by the best example of looking forward from here is 2.4 to evaluate the current inventory of large acre lots in the region and the needs of the large-scale primary employers and develop a strategy to provide development-ready sites into the future. As an example, we've got Venture Park, which was a great opportunity. Before that, we had a couple of, just one, really one or two large lots. But as that develops, we will soon be out of large lot inventory, and we need to keep strategizing and moving forward on that issue to attract employers. And we also have to talk to the employers and professionals in that arena that know what it takes to land them here, and so that we know, are we putting our resources here when they should have been over here? All the while strengthening our small to medium-sized business support and really growing within, and we're doing quite a bit on that too. So high policy strength, but still a lot of strategic planning left to do in this on this issue, I think.
So how do you get this? I guess we don't even know if this is a chapter or two chapters or what. How do you get from what we have now to the new thing in the comp plan? Is it you're having study sessions or you ask Jeff to look at chapter 7 and chapter 12 and look at the chamber's new plan and try and meld it all together? Or how do you do that?
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's taking what we have that doesn't, that is pretty solid, at least recent in its adoption, but also taking the new and the new efforts and putting those into the plan as policies. And you know, the plan doesn't do anything but establish policies. I mean, it's governments that do the work and make the programs. But so I see it just like that, is creating new language to align with the recent strategies.
I was just thinking it'll be a real challenge. I took a look at Chapter 7 and Chapter 12 a while back and was surprised at how outdated they seemed. And really things that, by virtue of other actions that have been taken, that haven't been changed in Chapter 7 especially. And I don't know, I think this would be a really important one to get right. And I think especially to get the emphasis now that everyone has kind of turned on a dime and we really are doing much more emphasis on small and medium business growth and local business development. So yeah, that'll be a challenge to kind of...
It appears to me that, you know, in the steering committee's discussion, we've covered about every traditional type of economic development that we've always been taught. But one of the things that we've added there that I think that we really need to study, we really need to understand, we really need to figure out if we're doing it right, and that's going to be the fiber policy that we have. I think that that is so key to future development, you know, economic development. I think we need to understand whether it's going to be fiber, whether it's going to be wireless, what's it going to be? And I mean, you know, I don't think you could really afford to pick wrong, because you will fall farther behind if you do. So I think there ought to be an emphasis there on what that fiber or how that's going to look versus traditional infrastructure, and what that's going to be too.
Some high-tech infrastructure?
Absolutely.
I would agree with Mike having that separated out from 2.5. It kind of gets buried.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't think that a robust communications policy that includes fibers on the same plane as the incubator space.
I would be interested, this one sort of conflicting to me, because I think it's that difference between it being a plan and it creating some policies and it creating some programs, and it actually used the word programs in here. And in my mind, I'm not sure I think of the comprehensive plan as having programs. I think those are developed, like Scott, you said it there, so the government, you know, they create these programs. And when we get to the action steps of identifying strategies such as dedicated economic development funding, well, against that per se, but I'm not sure that belongs to, in my mind, that doesn't belong in the comprehensive plan. I'd be interested to hear others who think it does, to understand that. And the same with the potential incentives. You know, again, I think it's something that would be good and good for the city and planning to do, but does it belong in the comprehensive plan? I just think he's response to those two. I thought the policy strength sort of does a really nice job of saying what it should be about. But when we did the summary position, ensuring that programs to support the growth of existing businesses are provided as well as attracting, does the comprehensive plan ensure programs? I didn't think so.
I would totally agree. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with how far-reaching this is on the economic development side of things. Again, it's a land use plan. So what is land? How does land, how can land use help development? But having active programs
there's some stuff in the plan where it encourages the community to think about those things, and so maybe it's just a depth of engagement that I'm less comfortable with. I just don't, does this document govern it? That's what I wanted to talk about.
I could see how to be in a plan when we're trying to achieve a result, we believe that these steps would help us get the result we need, and then perhaps without these steps, we wouldn't get the result we're looking for. I understand your reticence too, though. So I have a question for Scott and Jeff. Have you seen language like this in other comprehensive plans? This level of detail?
And again, depends on if I'll talk, Jeff can talk, you've got experience with this too, obviously, but it depends on how, what you want your plan to do for you. One could argue many elements of the plan overextend past land use and into other items. Environment policies, for example, talk about building fleets of green infrastructure, using green technology, cars and things. It has very little to do with land use planning, but it's part of our community plan. So I would agree that if you think that the plan is a community plan driving all kinds of different issues, then it has a place. If you want to reference the economic development efforts of the city, county, and their relationship, and there is a relationship there with the chamber, and that's who we use to do some of our economic development, then maybe it's a reference document. Maybe we're just referring to a different strategy, much like we do with what we will plan on doing with the arts and culture, the cultural arts plan, for example. Let the experts do it, and we just reference it as the community's plan to tackle that issue. The range is great, Lisa, how deep this goes in any kind of plan. Jeff?
There are some states that mandate high-level languages because they score and rate some of their CIP on this, they score and rate some of their federal grant money on this. If you don't have language in there, then there's no support for it at other levels. So it's, you can run into some of those differences as you move on through.
Too, I get what you're saying, but I think that this new plan is a real opportunity to show kind of the change, where we have changed or direction that we are, new directions that we're going, and that is one thing that is really significantly different right now is our direction for economic development and jobs just in the last year or two. Has seen a really dramatic shift away from being still working to recruit to industrial land and manufacturing and all of that. There has been just a sea change of different vision for how most of our jobs are going to be grown through small and medium business, local business retention and expansion. I was a real opportunity for our new plan to somehow show the change. If we just have another chapter 7 that's mostly industrial land use, which is important, but doesn't show this new vision for growing jobs, even though it's not as land dependent. I guess I want people to know we're going in a different direction or more direction.
Suggest to have along those lines, and I don't have any pure data to prove this, but looking at where people are relocating. that goes back to what the whole comprehensive plan is about, what we're talking about, mission statement, which is really being the best place to live in Kansas. That, I think, will lead to the economic development, or at least support the economic development. I don't know if we can create economic development through the plan, but we can at least support it. So the things that jump out here, 2.3, creating jobs, what does that mean, shared equipment or collaborative? What that means if there's a birth of a sharing economy, that means it's kind of blurred lines about ownership structures and what types of facilities or what types of buildings might exist where you might have incubator space or something along those lines that don't fit in traditional zoning code language. Home occupations, some things that might be used not possible with our current code. Things like a balance of different kinds of employment. Maybe some people have two disparate careers or do two different types of uses within it. Training patterns and zoning accommodations that allow for labor. All these kinds of things lead to the concept that what we do have is a zoning code which is fairly traditional. The zoning, almost from its inception, was exclusionary in nature and continues to be very exclusionary, and is used on both sides to be exclusionary. And these things speak to a modern society where those lines are blurred and people, jobs, and businesses aren't as easily compartmentalized as they used to be. A zoning code is written and it's got to fit into a certain type of use, and that relates to fire code and relates to the construction method of the building. I think as a society we're moving in a way where things aren't going to be so prescriptive, and I think we want to allow flexibility for people to have some entrepreneurship and come up with some new and interesting ways to grow a business, which leads to local and smaller businesses, which leads to economic development. In other words, we have some very modern zoning code, and zoning code we know is fairly restrictive, and we're seeing technology push up against that, things like Uber. Things are going on in the Bay Area right now. They're fairly scary to, I think, people center of the country. And this plan can address those things as opposed to the programmatic.
I would like to see some of the things suggested as goals. And I think we've talked about that format, that these are the goals for the section. And then here are the details of how that can be done.
Attracting the large employer almost seems more difficult to me than creating programs or support for folks that are already here. I say that because there's a certain perception about how to do that, whether the private sector can do that best or government can do that best, because it's such a slow absorption rate and it takes so much to perhaps attract large employers here, large employers, you know, the employer that's going to attract a couple hundred jobs. They need large amounts of land, need usually incentives. They need a culture of acceptance for them to want to come here and partake of our high quality of life. And it's interesting to me as an observer in my role to say, well, how does this community see those kinds of uses? In my opinion, we got a great opportunity with Venture Park for the city to acquire that land and then build it out and then have it ready for development. But until that happened, we were very limited in where a large employer could go. So do we take that success on it and kind of move forward again, plan for the future, to say not only, well, we'll lay the color pink on a map and if the private sector gets the opportunity, we'll support them, or do we take a more focused effort and say, no, we really want the next industrial park to be in this location. We really want large employers to be here for all the reasons we believe they should be here, and then how much effort are the local governments going to put toward that goal? Or do we just kind of have hands off? I'm just asking the questions. I don't know the answers, but I think it relates directly to the result. We frame that issue and how we frame moving forward. percentage there, they had the funding to back it all up. And those are some key components that we don't tend to have. We got great opportunities with venture, but after that, it's dried up until we make our own opportunities in the future. And so I'm excited for this because it's the range of possibilities and the range of employers that we're going to be involved with, either locals and incubating some and growing them up. We need a place to graduate these companies to, essentially. And we're going to be out of stock really soon.
Did Topeka tell them that's where they were going to build?
I don't know if they tell
them. And that's the spot that they could go and that's what they were going to do? I mean, I doubt it. Because, I mean, whenever you start telling the private sector what they're going to do, it doesn't happen.
Well, but what when you have someone like a Mars interested in your community, you give them the stock that you have available or potentially available. And you have to be pretty far along to even offer it up to them. And if you say, well, we've got some property here, we hope to annex and zone and give you infrastructure, that doesn't go very far. Venture Park is a great product to offer up because it's got roads, streets, sewer, water, land available, but there may not be enough of it, is my point, if we're looking 20 years down the line. So we need to do some effort, some exercise to intentionally get to that result.
Is that being done through this?
Well, we're proposing to establish the policies to help with that, yeah, to do that, some of that exercise to...
That's the EV policy, the other things that you have in there, because if you don't have them, you have nothing to build on. I mean, that's the gist of it, is where
right.
You're...
Right.
And so, I mean, that you get back to that, Patrick, about you have to have those things in play. And the other thing was, we go back to when we did all the surveys and all the things we've done, what's the number one thing they wanted? I mean, that number of the things, I want a job. All the other I have after I have a job, but I need to have a job first.
But I'll give you an example of why a good policy support for something we recently commissioned, text amendment for the makerspace use. Didn't need necessarily the support of the comp plan, but we knew that locally had a lot of support. And so we went forward on that kind of amendment to support those kinds of uses, those creative uses. So, but it's helpful to have that in our comprehensive plan to say, yeah, we're a community that recognizes a wide range of employment opportunities to get diversity here. We can't be a couple of trick ponies out there and survive big recessions and depressions and that kind of thing.
Is the venture part, is that the specific wording as a program for Patrick?
I would like to build a specific effort to go find the next place for industrial land use. We've got a couple of places mapped out, but they've not been successful for any number of reasons. We need to find ways to either make those places successful or new places successful so that when opportunity knocks, we're ready for it. That's going to take as much work as Venture Park took, as much work as it took to get those current places mapped out, but we need to keep working on that. The community shouldn't rest on any successes we have with Venture Park or anything else or plastics. Those are points in time that have been successful, but it's not enough. From my perspective, it's not enough.
So then does the steering committee's discussion and the points that we've laid out action steps that have been laid out by staff, do we believe as a committee that these are the things that are going to carry us in over the next 20 years? Are these the steps that we want to follow? Are these the things that are the most important to where we want to go?
What jumps out at me, I'm looking at 2.3 on action steps, create policies to support and grow local small and medium-sized businesses. I think what's ironic about that is I language that I would rather see. In other words, so often we run up against that. I think not too long ago, you, as a commission, you were entertaining the concept of what restrictions you were going to place on Uber, which is now moot. But to me, that's an absurd concept. It's a superior delivery mechanism to the antiquated taxi cab business. We shouldn't be looking at how we should restrict an organization community. We should be looking at how we can enhance an organization like that in the community. And so when I look at this phrasing, create policies that support, I would rather see language that's more about not restricting the growth of existing businesses. I'm about to go to a meeting in East Lawrence about this innovative food truck concept for a restaurant in my neighborhood. And a lot of neighbors are claiming it's bad or it doesn't fit within the existing parameters of the code and we need to restrict certain sales by 55%. I think, why is city commission wasting their time on a small business of that scale when you're talking about maybe $100,000 in cash receipts in a year on whether or not it has 55% in alcohol sales or 90% or whatever it is? That just seems like such a waste of time and effort and energy. Policy making at a level that's almost absurd. So that would be my number one takeaway on all of this is the idea that we can somehow create economic development. I'm not sure we can. I think economic development is going to happen. What can we do to not restrict it?
Along those lines of not restricting local small medium-sized businesses, I also would say not to restrict large corporations either, or of just wanting, I don't know enough about this stuff, but of why a big company would choose to come here or not to choose, of why in the past have they passed up warrants for a non to do here. Like I said, I don't know enough about that, but of is 2.4, is that covering that? Is that, or is there along the line of just not restricting? I know everybody said that it's so hard to develop the warrants and that the regulations are so cumbersome.
They are, and it is.
And so part of that creating jobs to get people to come here, to have lawyers come here, of a 2.5 or to piggyback on a 2.4 of making it easy for people to come here, whatever that may be. I don't know.
Go back to John, what he said earlier about restricting,
right,
changing the language, and we go back to 8 years ago. And so when I had to do something, we were so restrictive in the things we did, we had to jump through so many hoops. I mean, you hit it on the head. If you have less in the way, you're going to get development. And so, I mean, he did so well. I wish I could.
There's a balance to all
this.
Because, again, I started out with the fact that our plan and our codes are the product of a great deal of community input from all perspectives you can ever imagine. And that's how we get our codes in place. And for every perspective of completely free, lay hands off my business, there's a perspective of what the codes can do for the neighborhood to create good quality neighborhoods. And so that's a balance.
And then John answered your question. That's why Nancy and I exist as elected officials. I mean,
they take all the bars.
No, we try to make sure that balance happens. So.
And it comes up to issue three. I mean, the reason we have the 55% rule, why you could say you love Austin, there's an avenue in Austin that I don't love because it doesn't have the 55% rule, and I don't want our downtown to become that. So I think it's that balance between the two.
Choose one of how proactive do we want to be to grow our economic base or help. I mean, you're right, government doesn't typically grow. We can establish policies. The Biz Fuels is a great example, I think. We're reaching out, we're putting on programs for small businesses to come and learn about how to navigate state tax issues and lending issues and how to get funding here and there and how to navigate complex codes that we have in place. If we've helped four or five of those a year, we've done more than we've done before.
We've had a staff member, though, to help small business get through our city planning.
Yes.
I mean, when you have go, we have to actually add somebody to read the document to figure out what to do it, and it's an added city staff member on top of the people that we have to have do those things. And so, you know, the frustration level on the small side, you know where it goes. So anyway, I don't mean to keep harping on the thing over and over and over, but when we get all the way down to it, we want one thing. We want to develop jobs and have a great community. It's just being, it's sharing both sides of it. Like you said, there's a balance for everything that we do, and we have to balance it. Sometimes we get all the way into the weeds into such small things here that I get frustrated with it, going, you know, you got to get a little bigger picture for what we're doing and not get so deep in the weeds that we're trying to figure out where we put the dot. Let's leave it to somebody else to line the dot up. I mean, again, that's what you're there for. I mean, and that's what you two do at the county and the city. And so I don't have enough latitude in what we're giving them that they don't tear it all apart again.
Got it.
I don't take exception with the concept of balance like that. I think the balance on 2.3 can be made by just changing the language. What it says, create policies that support controlling local small medium-sized businesses. I mean, do we just continue to create policies? I don't think creating policy is going to create a market. I've been in Burma where a guy with dirt will sell garbage or buy garbage with dirt. Markets are created on the street in the third world with absolutely no resources available. They create themselves, no matter where I've been, all over the world, markets create themselves. So I'd rather see language that says to ensure that policies don't hinder the growth of local and small medium-sized businesses. I think that should be the glasses that we're looking at our policy through, which is that policy at the end of the day does restrict the market. The markets will create themselves without any policy. You don't need any governance to create a market between people. Our black market is illustrative of that. The drug market is illustrative of that. How rentals are done beyond the whole rental registration policy, those markets exist. People are doing things well beneath the policies that we have established here in Lawrence, just here in Lawrence. So I think it's really about the attitude of not that we can create business, but more that we can at least have policies that support business or don't hinder that business. That's what I'd like to see in that idea.
Okay.
And I would like to say that what you're proposing, the language you're proposing, is not in my comfort zone. That just saying no restriction will not work for the neighborhoods. So there does need to be the balance, and I think the government just needs to reflect that that's what we're going for. Not no restriction, but a balance.
Sure. Create policies of support. I said ensure policies support and grow local small, medium sized businesses. It takes away that negative. But it still says there should be some concern that policies do actually support and grow.
That we're not creating policies.
These are economic development policies. We're not talking about zoning inside the neighborhood. We're talking about economic development policies.
I like Charlie's recommendation.
Ensure that policies support and grow local small and medium sized businesses. Just saying that if you have a policy that's not doing that, then you might need to reconsider it. It should be providing support and encouraging growth of
small businesses.
Small businesses.
Is
that okay? Happy with that?
Yep.
Item two.
Okay. Make that change.
Scott, how
create
many of these
ensure.
Did you want us to go through? No, seriously, we have a time limited. We have got to get this done. So, how many do we need to cover in the next 15 minutes?
17. I was hoping to go a little quicker because the schedule part in the last 3 minutes, we've only got two of these sessions right now. We can obviously add more. But we had today and we had June 8th. And then we go to the public meeting and we get back together. So I should have.
So we have one more meeting to do all of this?
Yes.
Before we go to the public meeting? So can we do that in a very disciplined way and get it done?
Was there committee chooses, we can do that. Maybe what we can do is study the remaining issues for the next time, come with either provide us comments ahead of time, and we'll disperse those, or come with your comments, we'll quickly get through each of them. I mean, I think we should be looking at these kind of, did we capture the general feel of the committee and the summary position, and what are the action steps we want to see us take up later after this goes through the commissions? Because that's where the detail is going to be in that, in the action steps later, and the policy language is later.
So for our next meeting, we need to come prepared to really work through these remaining.
That's our preference, yes. That occurs June 8th.
And I sort of feel like, I'm assuming that everybody came prepared for that. What's hard to anticipate is the level of discussion that's going to create.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I came with my notes. The next two, I have nothing. So yeah. I'm ready to go to the next. Issue 5.
Downtown, I think we have covered.
Okay, issue 5. So, if we want to stay with the schedule, then kind of have a brief discussion about that. That June 8th meeting, and then July 13th, then, is the public comment meeting. And then we're back at it July 20th and August 10th. August is when we had planned on wrapping things up. So maintain the schedule for now. See how far we get with our, are we getting ready to adjourn then?
I feel like we almost need to, we just need to.
And again, some of these should go quicker, a little bit quicker than others. We hit a couple of them that we know are gonna be big issues. Anything more on issue 2? We can revisit these in the future too.
No, I think we've talked it about as far as it can go.
Okay. Issue 3 is maintaining a strong and stable downtown. Again, we try to capture your summary position. This is one that gets a lot of look and effort. It's pretty highly regulated. And I think you just wanted to say that ensuring that the continued momentum of downtown is a key issue.
Number one thing for me that jumps out is 3.1, more parking in garages. There, we have absolutely no data that shows that we need more parking or that we need more garages.
This was just a comment
that
the group made.
So I think parking needs to be addressed because it is one of the biggest hot button issues in the community. It needs to be addressed for the business owners, but also the patrons. I think that in this language, I think we need an objective study. I would argue that an increase in parking costs should be looked at downtown at the meters. I've seen it firsthand. I was in.
John, I'm going to stop you. How does that go towards our comprehensive plan adjusting what the price is at the meters? I don't understand that.
So, I'll kind of walk through it.
Yeah.
So, going to Dr. Shoup in UCLA, I mean, there's an example, a smart growth manual, and walkability, I can't remember the author's name, but it talks about how parking has a direct impact on development. So
I'm not going to disagree with you on parking.
Yeah.
I think part of it is I'm concerned about time. I shared Nancy's wanting to get it done. I don't see that our job within the comprehensive plan is to encourage one way or the other about parking meter rates.
I was going to give an anecdote, so if you don't want an anecdote, I
think
this just needs to be changed to a study, period.
Maybe I agree that John's comment about parking somehow needs to be captured in an action step.
And you got it.
The other piece, now I wasn't going to do anything on this one, but we talk sometimes about whether downtown is, like the footprint of downtown, is going to be the same as it always has been, or changing it? Is that addressed?
It's actually addressed in the current plan.
Okay.
And we've got an example where we actually did expand it to the north across the river, any documents.
And it doesn't expand out to Ninth Street corridor in that whole.
No.
Not today.
It does not.
Charlie brings up a great point, you know, residents in my neighborhood don't want downtown in kind of coming into East Lawrence, but you know, in a 30-year study, we say, well, that's perfectly feasible, but what about 100 years? At what point does downtown?
Well, I was thinking about the parking. So if you were to, like, really liberate parking downtown, say there are no parking requirements, and get rid of surface parking, and go to, you know, garages, the people around downtown might start worrying that people are gonna start parking in their neighborhoods. And so that's where that connection came in.
Yes.
It's how you get people just to stop driving down here, take the bus, walk downtown.
That's what John is talking about, that you wouldn't need a car, because you have different modes and transit and amenities downtown, that you wouldn't need a car to get around. So there would be no overflow into the neighborhoods.
Or maybe you plug your pool.
The other perspective is much stronger in the community, that people will park in the neighborhoods. That's just the nature of it.
Okay, define again the study you're talking about, John.
So I would say some type of comprehensive study on parking demand and projections of need. The anecdote I would just bring up is that when you have low parking costs, everybody parks downtown on Mass Street, which means the employees are parking there. When employees are parking there because of low parking costs and low fines, they take up a spot for 8 hours, when a paying customer might be willing to pay double the cost because they don't have a specific place they want to go. They're going to go to their business, spend their money, and they're going to get out because of the high cost of parking. And they're going to open that spot up again for another paying customer. What we have now is almost virtually free parking, from my perspective. So that people just sit there and park all day.
If you find my employees there after 8, let me know. We'll take care of the problem. I think study of parking is probably reasonable over time. Patrick, I share your concern. The decision that parking rates are always going to be that of the governing body.
Yeah. Wasn't a lot of actual steps in downtown because it's a lot of attention now. And I think the main push from the public was keep doing good things as you have. The next one's a pretty weighty one. We might want to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't get that one.
Quick question. You covered this the first 20 minutes. I apologize before I got here. The steering committee discussion points,
right.
Issue 4.4.1 to 4.14.
Okay.
Right.
I know you got those off the white sheets,
right?
Is the intent to include those in whatever we call as a final document, or are they just here for us now?
We probably need to have that discussion, whether you want them almost verbatim, or you wanted them expanded to make a little more sense, or you want them.
Well, I definitely want them called down, because you know,
if you're comfortable
our,
with just a steering committee
they
summary,
they were great for brainstorming.
Right,
but
I think the intent, why we offered up the summary position paragraph, is that if you wanted those to move off, then you had kind of a steering committee summary position that captured it in fuller thought. If that makes sense. So the paragraph just below sort of takes your work items and puts them into a thoughtful paragraph.
Yeah, and I think it's useful to have this at least for now. Just as I'm going through here, it's helpful to kind of refer back to it.
I think where it helps is it tells people the breadth of consideration, or at least some idea of what might have been in the discussion. So if there's a way to convert that to more of a paragraph than a bullet, that would make it more readable.
That's what the
summary position seems like. It's sort of a conclusion after.
It's a conclusion. It's kind of your
after considering
what our interpretation was of your position on this issue. I don't know that we. I mean, yeah, we could turn them into sentences.
I'd still rather have a bullet though. I think a paragraph. For me, that's easier to see it.
I mean, that's fine that they're here for now, but I don't want to see them in any kind of final document.
Well,
we'll have to address this at some point.
I mean, you know.
Let's keep it for now and we'll.
How do I sit here and talk about each one of those 14, the way they're named right now? What do they mean to anybody else?
Maybe, I wonder if we had the summary position in bold so that it's clearly kind of the main point of the page. And we don't get lost in all the bullet points, but we go, that, your eye kind of goes to the bolded paragraph and then the rest is just reference in a way.
Could be in the back.
I like it as having a record of discussion. Maybe it's not.
And we've got rural living question mark, it looks like. Is that a question mark after rural living?
Yes. Fancy.
I don't know, what does it mean down there now?
It looks a little unpolished either. I mean, that would be my only hesitation.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are, excuse me, Charlie, we're gonna go ahead and we're going to adjourn because I know that we have other meetings and deals to go to. We will plan on, when's the next one, June 8th? June 8th is the next meeting. We will finish this action report.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we will.
To be able to stay on the calendar that we have, we've gotta finish that night. Okay?
Planning commission doesn't.
Yes, see, there we go. You can go past six.
Does the planning commission meet that night?
Planning commission doesn't meet that night, okay? So we, on June 8th on our part of this deal. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Everybody say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
John?
Check.
Well, Lisa shook her head yes, so I know that we're gonna get it done. Okay. Y'all have a wonderful evening. We'll see you June 8th. I entertain a motion to adjourn. Here a second. A motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Everybody voted in favor. A very good meeting. Welcome to City Hall. You're right. See you, Lauren.
No, it's good. You know, I actually feel really good about it. The interesting thing is that we'll see if you agree, but it just
So they've been reading with the.
Yeah, the whole thing, the scheduling meeting.
And there have just been two.
It's just an update, but what I think we're.
A fun conversation.